Maybach Music.
It's time to get busy.
Like we always do about this time.
Jonathan Hood.
Outside!
On ESPN 1000.
A lot of this is behind the scenes or under the hood.
He was going the right way! Cohen, all the way! Touchdown, Chicago!
There won't be some Rams renaissance with this Bears team. That's just not happening. Even with Mitch Trubisky, you may have the jersey, but you don't know what that guy really is.
To market it, to answer. Come on!
Oh, bang, 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 sriracha!
Joseph Sikora.
I think I saw you in a commercial with Michael Jordan. Were you with Jordan?
With Michael Jordan, yeah.
What was your line in that commercial?
It is Michael Jordan.
That's all you had.
It's time to just look under the hood. No stone should be unturned.
I don't even know what that means.
A Louisiana couple is accused of attempting to rob an Uber driver
under the hood
that the woman distracted by being topless.
With Jonathan Hood.
I got an engine underneath my hood.
Oh, it's a topless woman. Oh, I'm totally distracted now.
Weeknights on ESPN 1000.
From our first Midwest Bank studio.
It's the way banking is supposed to be.
This is Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. On the ride home, glad that you're with us with open phone lines at 312-332. ESPN 332-3776 is the telephone number. Hit me up on Snapchat, SnapJHood. You follow me on Snapchat, I will follow you back guaranteed. Also on Instagram, IGJ Hood. We're with you for a short flight tonight because we're going to lead you up to Northwestern basketball right here on ESPN 1000. The reason why I'm on now instead of at 7 o'clock is because we have Northwestern basketball. We'll lead you into that game starting at 7:40 right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. On the program tonight, we'll get a chance to preview the Bulls and the Portland Trail Blazers. Really a Chicago voice for many years is the voice of the Loyola Ramblers. Brian Wheeler, the voice of the Portland Trailblazers, will be with us coming up at 7:15. His thoughts on the Bulls of Portland Trailblazers matchup tonight is going to take place at the Moda Center. We'll have Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. And, of course, your phone calls, 312-332-ESPN is our phone number. Hope that you enjoyed your Wednesday night. Hope that you're going to have a great time as we keep you, as I mentioned, for a short flight until 7:40 right here on ESPN 1000. The story that we found out early today is that the Broncos have hired Vic Fangio, who will turn 61 years old when the 2019 season starts. According to the Elias Sports Bureau, he would be the fourth oldest NFL head coach in their first full season. So Vic Fangio, the longtime defensive coordinator for the Bears, is now gone, getting his own gig. This should not be a surprise to you or for me to know that Vic Fangio is going to look for a job as a head coach. I think it's very clear what he has done as a defensive coordinator for this football team. But before we kind of dig into who could be the next guy and all that, I just want to tell you how odd and how rare this is with Vic Fangio as a defensive coordinator that was with the Bears for a couple of regimes. I don't think I could ever remember a time in all my years of covering Chicago sports in which the media and fans alike were, and along with the players, were hopeful that a defensive coordinator would stay with the organization. After being with John Fox and the defense was getting better toward the latter stages of John Fox's tenure, there were people writing blogs and columns, talk show hosts, saying, you know what would be really nice if Vic Fangio would stay as a defensive coordinator. It's something that you just don't usually get, because if I'm a head coach, I want to have guys that I'm comfortable with. Matt Nagy, for the first time, becomes a head coach in the National Football League. And, of course, he had his choice to be able to find a different DC, a different OC, an offensive coordinator, all the other position coaches. He had his choices. But I just never heard this kind of groundswell of people saying, you know, Vic Fangio's really turned around that defense. Be ashamed if you fired him. Be ashamed if you let him go along with John Fox. And guess what? Matt Nagy acquiesced. Matt Nagy says, you know, we probably should keep Vic Fangio, keep it in place. And this is the first time that I can remember something like this where there was this feeling that if you keep this defensive coordinator in place, the defense is going to be either stay the same or get better. Obviously, what we saw here, by bringing in Khalil Mack, the defense got even that much better. It already was a top 10 defense. But when you bring Khalil Mack in, now you're talking about top 5 defense with the arrow pointing up. As we talk about the Bears with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So the question is, now that Fangio has gone to the Broncos, so what happens to the defense? I think if you are Ryan Pace, and I think that if you are the Bears, you don't want to out-dumb the room. You don't want to change up too much because look at how solid the defense has been for the Chicago Bears. That is the hallmark of this team. I've spoken all throughout the season on my Under the Hood shows about how this year it mirrors so many years I've seen with the Bears in my lifetime as a Bears fan. I've seen the Bears in the playoffs 14 times in my lifetime, 14 times. And in those 14 times, the constant is the Bears' defense. Now, here's what I wanted this year from this 12-4 team. What I wanted from the Bears this year is for the offense to be able to get closer to the defense as close as possible. I mean, Khalil Mack, I remember the argument about Khalil Mack before the season on my Facebook wall, facebook.com, Jonathan Hood. And I said, you know, Aaron Rodgers still is the class of the NFC North. And Khalil Mack is right there in the team photo. And then you saw what happened this year. And all of a sudden, now you see Khalil Mack, as dominant as he is as a defensive player, I can see how the scales of justice can look at Khalil Mack and say, yeah, you know, maybe he's on the same wavelength as Aaron Rodgers as far as impact player, what he could do on the field. Two different positions. But when Khalil Mack's on the field, whether he was a Raider or with the Bears, and you knew how terrific that he was. But my overarching point about the Bears in the defense is that last year you saw this defense really get to another level led by Akeem Hicks. And then you see this year with Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman and Leonard Floyd and Danny Trevathan and Roquan Smith and Adrian Amos and Eddie Jackson and Amukamara and Kyle Fuller. And the list goes on and on. It's just not just about the line. It's not just about the linebackers. It's not about the secondary. It just, the Bears come at you at waves, including the guys that would have what they consider their second level guys defensively. The scheme was right, but the players are right for this team as well. So I don't know who is going to be the next defensive coordinator, but I will tell you this. What is smart is if you hire someone in-house, you don't have to change much. You don't have to change much at all. Because look at the defense as is. You don't want to try to fix what's already taken care of defensively. There are names on my list here like Ed Donatell, who is the Bears secondary coach. Donatell seems to be the consensus next man up. And there's a wrinkle to this. The Chicago Tribune's Brad Biggs is reporting that Donatell is out of a contract. So it will not be a simple, easy promotion. Jay Rogers is the Bears D-line coach. One of the masterminds behind the Bears front seven that also ranked in Pro Football Focus's top five. There is Steve Wilks, who only had 1 year with the Arizona Cardinals as a head coach, and he got the short end of the stick there, got fired after 1 year. Wilks is already familiar with Hallis Hall. He served as the Bears defensive backs coach for a couple years in 06 and 08. Vance Joseph, who was fired by the Denver Broncos, there's another name right there that, again, a defensive coordinator with some experience. And there's, of course, some names out there like Leslie Frazier or Wink Martindale, who was terrific, I believe, at Tic-Tac-Toe as a game show host. I think I mentioned Leslie Frazier, the former Bear defensive coordinator. So there's names there. But I'm, you know what, Eric, I appreciate this list. But you know what, this list doesn't mean anything to me. This list is great. Yeah, the premier, another one later. This list doesn't mean anything to me. What means something to me is if the Bears defense stays the same or better than what we saw this year. That's what it comes down to. The other thing that is, I think, a storyline here to watch over the next, I guess, this week and maybe into next week is that the other coordinators, the other coaches on the defensive side of the football for the Bears, will they stay at Hallis Hall, or will Vic Fangio pick and choose some of those coaches to go along with them? Because it's one thing, and here's the dynamic that's funny about this, right? When a team underachieves, it's all the coach's fault. When a team does well, it's all the players doing well. Nothing to do with the coaches. In this instance, though, in a very rare instance, many of you are looking at this Fangio thing saying, well, this is doom and gloom, or this is going to be a setback. It's not a setback. Not a setback, because here's why it's not a setback. Khalil Mack's on the team. That's why it's not a setback, because Akeem Hicks is on the team, because Roquan Smith, who I think for more than a decade, he is going to be a classic Chicago Bear. He's going to be a terrific player for the Chicago Bears. That's why this is not going to be a setback. I mean, even Jeff Joniak knows how great Khalil Mack is.
Let them learn a little about you right now. What's the Mack attack all about?
Oh, domination.
Give me a cool menthol. Oh, anytime he says that, it's just terrific. Oh, I do have a name for you. And maybe this might be a little bit too controversial for Hallis Hall, because everything is harmonious, everything is great, or now what's the word that Nagy uses? Everything is neat at Hallis Hall. This is the neato era of Bears football. Everything's neat. But what if this guy called Hallis Hall for a job?
Well, my thoughts are you got one job to do. I mean, it comes down to one play, and every coach will always be like, well, it's not just that one play. Yes, it is. You have a job to do. You got to make that kick. And the fact you didn't, like, I don't feel sorry for him. I feel sorry for that kid. Really? How about feeling sorry for his teammates and everybody else, the fan base and everybody else you let down? I'm sorry. This guy doesn't prepare. They don't do meetings. They don't do anything. You make a kick. And in that situation, you got to sit back. That's why you're a professional. It's like a golfer missing a 4-foot putt.
Yep.
If you're a pro, you make it. And that's what this kid's got to do. I don't feel sorry for him. Maybe that's me.
So we go back to by the way, that guy, Rex Ryan, he was on Get Up talking about Cody Parkey. Don't know how that would wash now with him saying that. But, I mean, he was telling the truth, absolutely, that from his standpoint. But it'd be interesting to have that dynamic, that type of personality at Hallis Hall, because that guy, Rex Ryan, he knows defense, that's for sure. As you're listening to ESPN 1000, the ESPN app, Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood with you here on a little earlier. We're going to be here until 7:40, and then we got Northwestern basketball. So, Eric, go back to the poll question from earlier at ESPN 1000, because I broached this topic because I had this feeling that Vic Fangio, I mean, all the reports that we were hearing that Fangio desperately wants to get a head coaching job. The poll question regarding Vic Fangio, I asked the question, will the Bears defense be the same without Vic Fangio? What's the results of that poll question from last night?
67% of the voters said no, it will not be the same without Vic.
See, I think that is a lot of pressure on one guy, believing that one guy is a difference maker. Now, listen, I think that if you are Matt Nagy and you don't know that much about defense or are not skilled at some of the schemes from defense and you trust a lot in Vic Fangio, that's fine. It doesn't mean that the team is just going to go backwards, though. The only way the Bears go backwards is some of the things I talked about on our post-game show, because I did the post-game right here when the Bears lost against the Eagles on Sunday night. Here's how it goes backwards. It won't be defense first, because even coming into the 2019 season, we know that the defense is going to be the distinguishing characteristic, the calling card for Bears football. Even in 19, it doesn't matter if you are a true TRU believer in Mitchell Trubisky or not. What it comes down to is a Bears team that has to get better offensively to be able to catch up or come up a little closer to where the defense is. The teams with the best balance have the best opportunities to win the Super Bowl. And we can't go back to 2000 Ravens or some of these other teams that we've seen where the defense is just ruling and you're winning games 12-6. That's fine. You win, because I know it's tough to win in the NFL. But the point is that the offense has to get better. I listened to what Chris Collinsworth said very closely in the last game the Bears played against the Eagles. I've heard other broadcasters talk about this as well. And listen, nothing against all these guys that break down film and talk about Mitchell Trubisky and talk about certain throws on the run, to the left, to the right, all that kind of thing. But I think it's very clear that there's some room for improvement offensively. I know that the glaring thing now is Vic Fangio's gone, but the defense is not what concerns me. What will set the Bears back to maybe a 10-win ball club, being 10-6 or 9-7, along with injuries, is the offense. That's the thing that is concerning me the most. In that game on Sunday night, an opportunity for the Bears to advance, the Bears were not efficient enough offensively. Numbers can fool you, but actual down and distance, game after game, if you watch some of the opportunities for the Bears to score, it was not there. You can't score in every play, I get that. But what Collinsworth said is true, is that Mitchell Trubisky is a one-read quarterback more times than not, because the numbers that he's researched said so, that if Allen Robinson is not open, if Jordan Howard's not open, if Taylor Gabriel, Anthony Miller, Trey Burton, if these guys are not open, then Trubisky's going to tuck in and run. There's second and third options out there. But you know, in this quick striking offense that we see in the NFL, you've got to be able to make a decision quickly. And maybe with some of these other parts around Trubisky, maybe they fight to get open even more so. But whatever it is, it's a quick striking offense, and Trubisky tucks and runs. Now, I want you to ask Ravens fans what's that like to have a quarterback that's just going to tuck and run. Ask Houston Texans fans what's it like to have a quarterback that's going to tuck and run. All I'm saying is that there's room for improvement. And as much as people have consternation and wringing their hands about, well, what's going to happen now? They need a new defensive coordinator. They'll find a defensive coordinator. But see, the talent's still there. That's why this is not a concern for me. What I'm concerned about is how the offense gets better. Now, this is not being hard on Trubisky as much as it is an observation, not even my observation as much as it is the observation of those that cover the NFL even closer than I do. Trubisky's got to get better at being able to spread the wealth. The one thing that is interesting to me watching this Bears team is that there's not one star on the offense. There's not one star, which is fine, because I think in a new system, you're trying to figure things out. The offense has played a lot better than I thought it was going to. But I think next year, the Bears have to establish, is Allen Robinson going to be that guy that's going to require a double team to make Gabriel better, Burton better, Tariq Cohen in the flat, Adam Shaheen, if he's still on the football team? Those are the questions you have to ask. And so all this hand-wringing about the defense, let's keep a look at the offense and see how the offense gets better. Here's Matt Nagy on Mitch.
Just a guy that continued to make plays. He's done it all year long. He's made plays when he's had to. We looked at each other with whatever time under a minute to go, and we knew we were going to move the ball and go down there and have an opportunity. And he did that. And he looked at me, he gave me a smile, and I said, you know, I just told him, I said, this is where the story begins. And he did it. He did a great job. I was just telling somebody in there, no one, not one person, truly knows how far that kid has come this year than me. And I mean, we're lucky. We're lucky to have him. I'm looking forward to the future. I really am with him, because the city of Chicago is lucky to have that kid at quarterback.
Trubisky on how far he's come.
Yeah, I feel like I've come a long way, but I also feel like I'm really just getting started. There's a lot I can still improve on, and just this season and experiences like that in the end are definitely just going to motivate me even more for the future. I'm hungrier than ever, and I can't wait to just get back to work and get started. I think the future is bright. And, yeah, just very thankful for all the fans that have stuck through with us all season long. It was a lot, really fun season, and I appreciate the way we stuck together as a family, and we all grew in different areas, and I thought I got better, but I'm just scratching the surface. Hopefully, I know this experience. I'm just going to do a lot of self-reflecting and make sure that I get better from this, and that it motivates me to become the best player I possibly can. So
thoughts there from Mitchell Trubisky. As you're listening to ESPN 1000, the ESPN app, Jonathan Hood with you here on Under the Hood. Let's talk about something else here. Let's talk about something else, because I got to get into the Bulls coming up in our next half hour. You're going to love this if you're a part of Bulls Nation. You're going to enjoy this, I hope. You know, if you're a college sports fan, there's a lot of great conversations about college in general, like should athletes be paid? Should athletes be able to leave college when they want to? Why are there parameters in college football and they don't have the same parameters in college basketball? There's a lot of interesting storylines and conversations that you and I could have about college sports in general, whether it is a fraud, whether it's on the level, all those kind of things, right? But I think that the one thing that you and I can agree on is this. There is quite the double standard between college student athletes, quote unquote, and college coaches. You've seen the last couple of stories, right, that you might have glazed over it on ESPN.com about Cliff Kingsbury and Manny Diaz. If you don't know these two names, Cliff Kingsbury was supposed to be the offensive coordinator at USC. He's supposed to be the offensive coordinator at USC. And as soon as an NFL job opens up, like the Arizona Cardinals, he was with USC for not even a cup of coffee. The coffee's still warm at USC in Los Angeles. And what did Cliff Kingsbury do? He decided, nope, I'm going to leave and go to the Arizona Cardinals to be a head coach. Now, that in itself is just a whole different topic that we don't have time for, which is amazing how you could fail up. But it's exactly what he did. He underachieved at Texas Tech, but somehow because, you know, he can talk to the single moms on the couch and he's handsome, he gets hired. But whatever. I don't know how that works in Arizona, but he was locked in to be the offensive coordinator to help USC. And all of a sudden he just goes away. He says, no, I'm supposed to be the USC offensive coordinator. No. Manny Diaz, the same thing. So Manny Diaz was with the Miami Hurricanes, takes a job with Temple, and then 3 weeks later, oh, Mark Richt is retiring. I'm coming back home to the U. 3 weeks. The double standard is a student athlete can't do those things. A student athlete that has the old shell game when he has the three hats or the four hats on the table when it comes to signing day, he says, no, Georgia, Florida, no, Auburn. That guy gets criticized. Or if there is a student athlete that says, I'm going to verbally commit on a handshake, and then he finds something that he better, he wants to go to a different place, that kid gets criticized. There's a story about a coach. I will not say his name. But he did coach at Cincinnati football. And he was sitting at a table with recruits. And the student athletes were like, hey, coach, you going to be around? You know, look forward to playing with you? He goes, oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to being with you. Hold on a second. I got a phone call. The guy picks up the phone. He goes, excuse me, kids. I'll be right back. They're at dinner, at a recruiting dinner. He takes the phone call, goes outside, and never returns and takes a job with another team. Won't say the name, but he's worked at ESPN.
He left those poor college kids with the tab, too. Come on.
Pretty much. But that's what I'm talking about. College kids don't get a chance to do those things. So adults try to make you want adults to make adult decisions, and they go back on it. But if a student athlete does it, then that kid's immature, that kid's a jerk, he ruined the program. No. Kids have the right to be able to make their choices as well. When college coaches start honoring their contracts and honoring their responsibilities, then maybe they can actually talk to the kids about that and talk about the same thing. It happens all the time now. The old bait and switch. I'll sign here. Oh, I found something better. I'm so sorry. That's just not right. But this is where we are now, right? It's exactly where we are. And so of all the conversations we could have about college athletics, that one is just amazing how college coaches can commit, put on the colors, got the office, got all these things. Oh, no, I'm going to leave. I'm just going to go. But if a kid does that, oh, no. That kid is maligned. Social media, newspapers, everything else. And that's just the double standard that I just don't get when it comes to college athletics. Coming up next, oh, boy. I got a basketball team for you that you'll really enjoy if you love your basketball. 1960s style.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Good. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
On the ride home, Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. If you like to listen to podcasts, I got a podcast for you. I have a recommendation. It's called Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. It's really good. If you don't get a chance to hear my show weeknights at 7, I've got content that you might have missed. You might be traveling, trying to get home, lock in with the kids, or going to work yourself, and never get a chance to hear my show. I'm on weeknights at 7, but you can check out the podcast. So, if it's iTunes, if it's Google Play, iHeartRadio, wherever you download your podcast, look for my name. Just type in Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Or if you did a Google search, I've had Eric do this last week, just put in UTH Pod, UTH for Under the Hood Pod. You can get all my podcasts, download them, subscribe. That way you never miss an episode of the shows. You can't hear me weeknights? Listen to us whenever you get a chance, because we got some terrific conversations. And, of course, our show weeknights from 7 to 10 right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. So Under the Hood Podcast, subscribe, download. That way you never miss an episode. 5 stars in review, by the way, if it's on iTunes. I could use 5 stars in review. Not just for iTunes, but in life. I could use those 5 stars and a review right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. So if you like 1960s NBA basketball, baby boomers, I got a team that you're going to love to watch tonight. Okay, it is television that you must watch. Turn on at 9 o'clock and put on Chicago Bulls basketball. Bulls Nation, it is amazing to watch this 10-30 ball club. It's pretty bad. I've seen articles from Zach Lowe from ESPN.com to TheAthletic.com talking about this Bulls team. I saw this earlier from... I believe this is from Zach Lowe from ESPN.com. The Bulls have built a time machine and they're using it for evil. As Jim Boylan often says, he worked for Greg Popovich and Rudy Tomjanovich. You don't get to those places without knowing the game and how to coach it. I just don't really get what he's trying to prove, turning the Bulls into a slow it down post up machine. Now, I'm going to give you an opinion and then I'm going to give you the facts to back that opinion. My opinion is that Jim Boylan is trying to put this team into the ground. You don't think that John Paxson and Gar Forman know what they're doing? It's one thing to have Fred Hoiberg be the head coach, but with a wink and a nod, they're like, you know, we're going to be guaranteed a top 3 pick. Let Jim coach the team. He has no idea what he's doing. That's exactly what's happening here. And if you have a financial or emotional attachment to this basketball team, this has got to suck for you. You're going to the United Center to see a team that's trying to play basketball in the late 60s, early 70s, trying to make Robin Lopez Hakeem Olajuwon. I don't understand what this offense is. It reminds me of Mike Fratello when he was coaching the Cavaliers, when he took the air out of the ball and off a miss. He says, oh, whoa, 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 whoa. No, no, there's no fast break. Walk it up. And again, you just do a Google search or go to Twitter. You can see the videos for yourself or actually watch the games if you dare. The Bulls under Boylan are averaging almost 14.5 post-ups per 100 possessions, up from 9 under Fred Hoiberg. The increase is proportionally even larger since Boylan has the Bulls crawling. Boylan argues playing inside out allows Chicago to control pace, limit turnovers, and force opponents to play against its set defense. That sounds like a thing, but it is, right? Since Boylan took over, only Joel Embiid, Karl Anthony Towns, LaMarcus Aldridge have posted up more often per possession than Robin Lopez. I mean, as if Robin Lopez is like this back-to-the-basket guy that you got to get his touches because you know he's going to give you 30 points a game. He's not giving you 30 points a game. This is what Bulls basketball is. And then from there, some interesting articles from TheAthletic.com about this, from Stephen Noe. Ask me, do I want Steven on the show, by the way, Eric?
Jonathan, would you like Steven on the show?
No.
Oh, I get it.
Chicago has been the least efficient post-up team under Boylan. They are taking more mid-range jumpers. They are last in free throw rate and 29th in turnover rate. Prioritizing ball security and somehow almost leading the league in turnover rate almost makes me think that the Bulls are embarking on some kind of Joaquin Phoenix-like meta public art spectacle, as it's written here on at The Athletic. Their defense has been better, but I'm not sure that you could connect A to B so clearly. It was being written in theathletic.com. It's pretty bad, and it's expected that the Bulls are going to be bad this year or underachieve, especially with the injuries. But it is unbelievable when you have the Duns and the Levines and you've got Markkanen out there and you're walking the ball up offensively because you don't want to turn it over. You're not holding teams to the 80s and the 90s offensively, not in this NBA. Where the three is so prolifically shot, you're not going to hold teams under 90 points. Your defense isn't good enough. Talk to Nick Friedell about the Bulls last night from ESPN.com. And Nick said this about the Bulls.
I mean, it's real bad. I tried to watch a couple times. It's just, I watched that team.
Yeah.
And I think the only two pieces they have long-term are Carter and Markkanen. Maybe Portis. I still like Bobby's game, but you know, he wants a ton of money, as is his right, as a free agent. And I don't think they're going to go way too high. So I don't know if he's here long term. It's Carter and Markkanen and then whatever happens in the draft lottery. But, man, oh, man, if they run those guys, if that tripod comes back next season, Hoodie, if you're a Bulls fan, you know, that's your choice. Your choice is to stop investing in the product and the way it's run. And if I were a fan, after all these years, that would be how I would let my voice be heard.
So he talks also to me last night about Michael Reinsdorf, Gar, and Pax. Listen.
I have this to say on the Bulls. You and I have spent so many hours over the years discussing this team. I think it's gone past Gar and Pax now, Hoodie. With the roster building and Boylan, sticking with Boylan, not making him just the interim for the rest of the year, it's past that. I mean, I think, like so many in Chicago, that it's time to change things up. You know, Gar and Pax, his heart was in the right place. I would never question whether or not they wanted to win. They just made a lot of poor choices the last few years. I think it's time for a change. But if we are sitting here a year from right now, and Mike Reinsdorf has brought back Gar, Pax, and Jim Boylan is still the coach, oh, my gosh. I go into these NBA arenas all over the place, and because of my ties to the city and to that team, everybody still asks about the Bulls. And they're a laughingstock right now. It is a laughingstock around the league, the way things have gone and what has transpired. And if you're a fan, I mean, I'm watching what's going on, and if they maintain the status quo after this summer, and they keep Gar and Pax and Boylan in place. If I'm a fan and I've been supporting that team for years and years, and you know all these fans have invested all this money season ticket wise, the only option you have is to get out, and that would push me past the point. If you're watching what's unfolding and you've seen the decisions that have been made, and now they're sticking with Boylan over a long period of time here, at least. Through this season, potentially into next year, my ire wouldn't go towards Gar and Pax anymore. It would be directed straight at Mike Reinsdorf because he is now running the show. I know Jerry's still involved, but Mike is running the day-to-day operations. If he makes the call past this summer to keep everybody in place, all three of those guys, man, if you're a fan, you just got to shake your head and kind of walk away.
Thoughts there from Mark and Nick Friedell. You can hear the rest of that interview on the Under the Hood podcast. We had a long conversation about a lot of storylines around the NBA. We'll hear, by the way, from Brian Wheeler, who covers the Portland Trail Blazers, the longtime voice of the Blazers, coming up at 7:15, a half hour from now, right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. But, yeah, it's about – he gives the perspective, and it's a great perspective of just, yes – Gar and Pax is the issue, but also the issue is you. You're the problem. You know why you're the problem? is because if you're watching or listening to that broadcast and you're watching that product and you know more times than not that team is going to underachieve, then what's the point? The other point is, and I want you to think about this, and you can hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweet Jay Hood if you think I'm wrong. For those of you that are rooting for this team to lose and for this team to tank, I will ask you this question, simple question. Why would you root for the Bulls to continue to lose to get a high draft pick when that draft pick probably will never manifest itself into something that could be special for the team overall? You can root for a top three pick and you say, oh, here's a top three talent, but where's the team going? The issue that you got to think about, even if you dare to turn on Bulls basketball, is this: culture. Culture. Until the culture's right, the team will never be right. You can right there, you can get on social media and talk about how the Bulls got to get Zion and they got to get RJ Barrett and all these guys. But if the culture isn't right, then where are you going? There's a lot of teams like Brooklyn and Sacramento and Atlanta now stockpiling top draft picks, but where are they going? So it's just kind of a stupid thought of, if we just get all these draft picks, we're going to be great. Who's going to coach them? And what's your culture? Think about those things. So now you had a holding pattern as a fan, like, well, what am I supposed to do? You can root for a team and watch a team that actually knows what the hell they're doing, like Milwaukee. How about them Apples? Or Toronto? Good basketball. I'm going up to see the Bucks at least six times this year. You know why? Because it's quality basketball. That's why. Because they went from the bottom, and now they're at the top of the Eastern Conference for a reason. You know why? Because they're quality. That's why. And so that's the issue. When you have a team that's underachieving, and they continue to have their spot at the lotteries, oh, you know, I'm just going to root for them to lose because we get a high draft pick. Who's going to coach them? Jim Boylan? And who's going to generally manage them? Gar Forman and John Paxson? Look how the organization's going now. You mean that's going to change? It's going to change the fortunes because you get a draft pick? Gotta look at this closely and what's going on with this organization. It's not good. Coming up, we will have Tales from the Hood at the top of the hour. Oh, how many games will the Cubs and Sox win? How many games are they going to win this upcoming season? I've got an idea. Next.
I'm not internationally known, but I'm known to rock the microphone.
Hey, yo, Jay Hood. Talk that barbershop talk, dude.
You can be a fool if you want to.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. It's the Cubs and it's the Padres. Here's Jesse Rogers. Jess? No? Jess is not there?
Well, Jonathan! I'm trying to my Jesse, just energy. High pitch, excited. Yes. Try not to suck!
I'm getting ready for April, apparently, with our in-game reports that we do. That's the music you usually play for Jess. And somewhere he's giving a report. If he's listening to the show right now, he's just giving it in his car for no reason. All right, Eric and Felix producing the show tonight. We'll have Tales from the Hood coming up at the top of the hour. Felix, here is Caesars Entertainment with the Major League Baseball win totals. I'm going to get to the Cubs and Sox in just a moment. Houston, 97.5 win total. Over, under, Felix?
Over.
Eric?
I think the best team in baseball. I'll stay over.
Dodgers, 95. Felix?
Over.
Over?
Yes. By like two wins.
That's a good number.
I say they're over, yeah.
Going under. That's a good number right there.
That's a solid number. Yeah. That's a very good number. Well, Vegas knows what they're doing, right?
They've done it once or twice.
So I think Houston over. I think Dodgers a step below at 93, 94. Cleveland, 91.5. Eric?
Under. I think they're going to regress pretty hard this year.
Felix?
Under. Way under.
Almost a sucker thing there. I think it's going to 87?
Right.
86, mm-hmm. Somewhere in there?
Yeah, 85, 86, that ballpark.
St. Louis Cardinals. Felix.
What's the number?
88.5.
That's good, too. I'm going to say over.
Goldschmidt puts him over?
Yep. I'm going to give him like 2 or 3 extra wins on that. So probably like 90-91. But I think they're a better team for sure.
I agree with that. Eric?
No, that's a sound decision. I think they're a much better team than we were last year.
Eric, yeah, I keep going back and forth because yeah. Eric's a Sox fan and Felix is the Cub fan. So, Eric, Minnesota, 84.
Minnesota.
Under.
Gosh, 84 seems like a lot of wins for that team right now.
I think it's under.
Yeah.
I would say under, too.
Felix, Milwaukee, 83.5.
Over.
That's such a low number. Yeah. I don't get
That's really
reigning
low.
Reigning MVP on that team. I don't get why where they got that one from.
Waddle and I agree on that. We didn't understand why it was 83 no. either.
That's weird.
Milwaukee's going to win the division. How about that?
That's something I don't want to hear now in January.
How about that? I got a chance to change that by the time we get to April. All right, here are the Cubs. 89, Felix.
I don't know. With what they've done so far, which is nothing, I'm going to go under.
Oh.
Wow, I'll go over. They were inconsistent, had a rough rotation, and they won 95 games last year. I will say over.
That's a 90-win ball club.
I'm just really worried about the pitching and the bullpen. That's the biggest issue. It's not their offense so much. It's the pitching. And a lot of coaching changes. It's just, I don't know, man.
Eric, White Sox, 74.5.
Taking the over because Manny Machado is going to be the starting shortstop for your Chicago White Sox.
Over, definitely over.
The Chicago White Sox. How about that?
Over Machado's there at like 76, 77 because one guy's not going to change the whole team.
Jimenez.
If not, no.
Yeah, then they're right there.
Just screw that out. Yeah. Empty seats and under 74.5.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.
Yo, it's the Southside's own Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
There's a blast deep into the night and a two-run homer for Baez. And there it goes. Abreu massacres this ball to left center field.
Nauta goes in motion left. Snap it to Michelle. He's running to the left. Angling. 25-20. Got a block for Grubb. 50. Pass. 5. Touchdown. 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 Don't win it. We're headed to Atlanta.
Trubisky's going to run it. And he is going to get a first down. How about Trubisky to the 42-yard line? Oh, my goodness.
In the ring. Steamboat's got him out. A slam.
The player inside Cradle, 1-2.
He's done it. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What's up? And welcome in. You're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is the telephone number. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweetjhood. Also on Snapchat, snapjhood. You follow me on Snapchat, I will follow you back guaranteed. Oh, you want me to go through the show, what we're doing tonight? I told you guys yesterday, I started at 6. Why didn't you listen to me? I told you yesterday.
Yeah, y'all are late. What are you doing?
Where are you? If you're listening now, I told you I started at 6 tonight. Oh, UTH audience. I told you. Now you're looking for me to give you a full 3-hour ride. I'm not doing that tonight. We're off at 7:40 because we got Northwestern basketball right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. But we do have Tales from the Hood this half hour. Also, we're going to hear from Brian Wheeler, former Loyola Ramblers play-by-play man, but longtime voice of the Portland Trailblazers. Why is he on? He's affable. And the other reason why is because the Bulls, with their 10-30 selves, they're going to be taking on the Portland Trailblazers at the Moda Center. It's going to be a tough stretch for the Bulls. It's been tough for a while anyway, but it's going to be a tough stretch here on the West Coast as the Bulls continue to pack it down into the paint and give it to Robin Lopez time after time as if he's Kareem Abdul-Lopez on the inside. It's unbelievable, but this is where they are. We'll talk to Wheels about that coming up this half hour here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. All right, Eric, it's time for Tales from the Hood.
What do you got there?
This is your car.
My car? I said a 10-second car, not a 10-minute car.
Pop the hood.
Pop the hood?
Pop the hood.
Tales from the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Here we go.
You know, one night, there's not going to be no news, nothing going on. And I'm going to say, all right, Eric, let's go to Tales from the Hood. And it's going to be at 7:05.
We can do it for 3 hours. There's that much crazy news out there.
It's going to be like live PD for 3 hours. That's exactly what it's going to be. It's unbelievable. Tales from the Hood. It's going to be like in February, like a cold night in February. Like, you know what? Nothing going on. Let's do Tales from the Hood. This is going to last forever. This is going to play Slick Rick for 3 hours.
That's I love it. Let's just roll it.
Coach Collins and Northwestern basketball returns to the new Welsh Ryan Arena this winter to host Michigan, Indiana, and more. Season and single game tickets on sale now at usports.com and usports.com. If you're not accustomed to Tales from the Hood, well, it's stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. If you listen to the show, you know we do this, but usually at 8:30. Well, since we're off early, let's put it here. How about our first story here? Let's go to Center, Alabama. Not for pickup, spilled chicken causes traffic problems.
I love our theme. Every day there's a new truck spilled something on the highway.
Tales from the Hood is always give you the latest in spillage.
Pardon the expression.
These chicken tenders aren't for pickup. An Alabama sheriff's office is warning people against eating chicken that tumbled onto a rural highway after a truck wreck. An 18-wheeler crashed on Alabama 35 on Sunday, spilling boxes of chicken tenders in Cherokee County near the Georgia line. Motorists began stopping to pick up the food, which authorities say created a traffic hazard. Well, no blank. The Cherokee County Emergency Management Agency posted a notice on its Facebook page asking people to quit picking up the chicken. Really? I'm in my car. Am I going to check Facebook at the same time? Oh, says here, I better not pick up the chicken. Seriously?
I'm picking up chicken fingers and eating them off the road. What's happening in Alabama right now.
I mean, it's fine, but like, should I check Facebook? Put that on the poll. At ESPN 1000, should I check Facebook before I pick up spilled chicken on a road? Yes or no? Put that out there, see how that comes back. You don't check. Could you imagine? There's chicken on the road. If you're that into chicken to do that, you're not checking Facebook first.
I hope you got like barbecue packets or something in your glove box if you're just picking up dry tenders like that.
You're so southern. Got something in your glove box. Put that on the poll as well. At ESPN 1000, do you own a glove box? Yes or no?
What else is it called?
Glove compartment.
Okay. Yeah. Probably. Fair enough.
You got something in your glove box. I got me a glove box. My God. The notice says that the food isn't safe to eat after hours on the ground. The post also says that the situation was created a traffic hazard and it's a crime to block traffic. Okay.
Spilled chicken. The saga continues.
I love that. That's the name of the episode, Spilled Chicken. So that's just tremendous. Don't forget last night's episode, by the way, which was number 7, Felix Reyes. That's also a great episode from last night's show.
That sure is.
Yeah, you show your wife that the show was named after you?
And I told her. I showed her this segment, too.
All right. Let's see what else we have here. More Florida. Let's see. Broward County teen accused of illegally keeping venomous snakes in closet. An 18-year-old South Florida man is accused of illegally keeping venomous snakes in a bedroom closet at his Fort Lauderdale home. The Sun Sentinel reports a state Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission report says that officials confiscated several snakes found alive. The report also says that two other snakes were found dead and rotting in a plastic container. What? The teen was fined $25 in order to complete 25 hours of community service.
So not anything.
Really?
$25 and 25 hours of community service is nothing.
Now close your eyes and think if that was a dog.
Yeah, seriously. That's thousands of dollars. And jail time, maybe. You're right.
Or a cat. But since it's a snake, it's like, oh, $25, 25 hours of community service.
I'm going to warn you right now. I thought of a terrible joke, but I'm saying it right now. I didn't know snakes had a sexual preference. Why does he keep them in the closet? Ooh, that doesn't deserve that.
It's actually pretty good. That's pretty good. It's tremendous.
You lost your place.
Yeah. Jeez, I didn't expect that to come.
I molded over my head. I'm like, am I going to? Yeah, I'm just going to warn them.
Sure.
First.
Why not? You're on our wacky morning show.
Yes.
All right, Eric, what do you have?
Real quick, I want to give a shout out. Steve Gleason, the New Orleans Saints safety, who's been struggling with ALS for a long time now. He will be the first NFL player to receive the Congressional Gold Medal. I think that's amazing for everything he's done for ALS and research and money raised. Just saw that on the ticker, and I thought that was awesome. I wanted to bring that up.
Very good.
Now on to something more serious. Security camera catches man prowling on doorstep, licking doorbell for 3 hours.
Bro.
3 hours.
Bro.
Licking a doorbell is gross to begin with, but 3 hours. Like, I don't know what lasts for 3 hours anymore. Just saying.
If you'll pardon the Bluetooth expression.
There you go. That might help.
There you go.
So saw this on Live PD, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are familiar with the show Live PD. Have you guys watched this before? Dan Abrams?
Yes.
You got to catch it like the replays. If you go out late at night and then it's on like the replays on Friday night, Saturday morning, like 1 a.m. It's great. I mean, it's a step above Cops. That's right. What it is. A step above, because it's actually analysis. It's almost, they run like a sporting event. Dan Abrams is the analyst, and you got two cops. One named Stick and the other one named something.
Ball?
Yes, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. I think it's a black guy. His name's Ball.
Okay.
And so they're there as the analyst for this, right? And so it's a pretty good show, but that's where I first saw this. So let me ask you a question. What's the charge?
Okay, and I've never heard of this. Hold on. He was charged for a misdemeanor for petty theft because he stole something from the yard. But the other charge I've never heard of, prowling. Charged with prowling. Hmm. Who knew that was an offense?
Can you go to jail for prowling?
Depends on the level of prowling done.
If you are licking the doorbell, there should be some jail time, right?
There should be. You need to be in an institution because you're not healthy.
So weird. And for those who haven't seen the video, check it out. It's so strange. So strange.
God, I'm like, put the poll on. I don't see any poll questions. Where is the poll questions?
They're coming.
For goodness sakes. You got a typewriter over there? Got a royal typewriter? My gosh. And there's Dave in it. Yes, we do have Northwestern basketball coming up at 7:40 right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. All right, Felix, what do you have?
New Mexican arrested for allegedly stealing a postal truck.
Oh.
New Mexico State Police says a woman who allegedly sold a postal truck has been arrested in Raton. Police were notified about 8 a.m. Wednesday that a U.S. Postal Service vehicle was stolen from the Maxwell area. It was later located on Interstate 25, and that began a pursuit involving police officers. Stop sticks were deployed to end the incident, and police says that 34-year-old Chanel Escason of Raton was taken into custody. Now, the reason why I found this story so interesting is because when you think of a postal truck, you automatically think of like the UPS truck guys that come by, or obviously the normal postal trucks that come by as well, right? And it's always with the wide door open, right, on the driver or the passenger side, right? It's so easy to jump in and really just drive off while they're walking around the neighborhood. That's the first thing I thought of. I was like, I used to always think about that. I was like, if you wanted to rob a car, that's probably the easiest car to rob. Now, I'm curious to know what her motives were, because this just happened this past Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Now, if it was around the holidays, then that would make sense, right? Because then you would have envelopes there with checks, maybe, if you still have grandparents who send you those, or gifts, you know, or gift cards.
Yeah.
But why Wednesday, out of all the days, randomly just take a postal truck and just carjack it, you know, and just drive off with it. So confused. I'm really curious to know the motive behind it.
Well, Eric, you're criminal-minded. What are your thoughts on
that? My first thought is, why would you steal a... Like, a mail truck are slow, not fun to drive. Like, that's a really boring car to steal.
It sounds like if you're on crack, that's perfect.
That's probably it. And maybe they had, like, a letter from an estranged... They're an affair, and they knew a letter from their mistress was coming. So they needed to nab the truck so it doesn't show up. I have no idea. That's a boring steal. Steal a Ferrari.
Right. Well, right.
Exactly.
If you're going to do that, I mean, go Fast and Furious.
That's what I mean.
Get something quality,
some Tokyo
right?
Drifting. Yeah.
What makes it interesting is how fast was...
Expression.
How fast was she going that stop sticks were even deployed? Like, that's so interesting.
Worst thing is so they probably blew out all the tires on the truck. Taxpayers are going to have to pay to replace all the tires.
Of course.
Oh, there you go. That makes sense.
And that is Tales from the Hood right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app, as we broadcast live from the First Midwest Bank Studios. You're listening to ESPN 1000, the ESPN app, Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood with you as we turn to Brian Wheeler, the veteran voice for the Portland Trail Blazers as the Bulls get ready to take on the Trail Blazers at the Moto Center. And Brian joins us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Brian, as always, I appreciate your time. Give us your thoughts on the ebb and flow for the Trail Blazers so far this season.
Yeah, I think, you know, Terry Stotts teams have traditionally been good second-half teams, and sometimes they've had to be because the first halves have not been so good. So the fact that the Blazers could get through the fairly tough schedule that you mentioned and have 24 wins already, be a couple of games ahead of their pace through 41 games of last season, I think they feel pretty nice about where they stand right now. Of course, they have their longest road trip of the season is coming up right after the All-Star break, so they still have some challenges ahead. But this month is filled with a few more home games and some games against the Eastern Conference, and so I think their hope is that they can get their record maybe padded a little bit. And again, in the Western Conference, as you look at the standings, certainly there's going to be some pretty good teams that will have solid records at the end of the season that aren't going to make the playoffs. I mean, there's only eight that can get in, and right now there's about maybe 12 or 13 that deserve to be considered. So from that standpoint, I think you've got to get as many wins as you can, and especially when you can beat the Eastern Conference, that's always going to be a good thing. You've got to win your home games, and if you do that, then maybe you'll be sitting in a good spot at the end of the season. So I think the Blazers feel pretty good about where they're at now, but they obviously understand there's a whole lot of business still left to be done the rest of the way.
Brian, how special is Damian Lillard for the city of Portland and for the team? Because when you watch him, he's not forgotten about because he's just that consistent. What do you like most about him, and what does he mean to that city?
Yeah, it's a great way to put it. I mean, you know, he's not only a great basketball player, but, you know, we found that then in Portland, when you're in a smaller market and you're the biggest game in town, people kind of want some good people to represent their organization as well as good players. And Damian has been all of that. I mean, sometimes you have to remind yourself that he's still just in his mid-20s. I mean, he's a very mature guy. He obviously was brought up with a very good family background, even though he grew up in a tough section of Oakland where he had a lot of temptations to maybe go in a different direction and maybe not have the stability that he was able to get and kind of embrace as he grew up. But I think that has allowed him to kind of understand that there are people out there that maybe are worse off than he is. And so he does a lot of things in the community and does a lot of things for the city. And unlike a lot of you know, people around the league, sometimes there's some superstars that have talked about, I don't know if I really want to come play in Portland. It's not big enough. There's not enough things to do outside of playing basketball. He's embraced that as well. He's brought a lot of members of his family to town to live with him, and they visit often. And so he's a new father in the last year, so he's taken on additional responsibility. So, but I think he's done everything that the city of Portland could ask for in terms of a leader of a franchise, and also in kind of in this day and age when sometimes guys are, you know, bonding together to form a super team, he's more of the old school thought that hey, let's try to, you know, get the team I'm on to be better and go up against some of those powerhouse teams. So he's not looking to move anywhere else, and I think Blazer fans love hearing something like that. So here's a guy that says he wants to be a lifelong Blazer, wants to break all the team records, and he's already started to make a move in terms of doing things like that. So it's really been a great, great marriage, and I think Damian's happy to be in Portland, and Portland's certainly happy to have him.
Brian Wheeler, the voice of the Portland Trail Blazers with Jonathan Hood on Under the Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I think I've seen him quoted Brian, him saying that he could see himself being with Portland for the long haul. Now, I know in this era of free agency, you never know what can happen, but, I mean, even Karl Malone wasn't a Jazz for his entire career. I'm just wondering, could you foresee Lillard staying the majority of his time in Portland in the NBA, maybe being a lifer?
Yeah, I think so, because the one thing that I've learned about him, among other things, is that he's very loyal to the people that are loyal to him. So, you know, he was a guy that was not heavily recruited out of high school. And so once he got to be a little bit of a more known commodity toward the end of his senior year in high school, some bigger schools started to recruit him. But he remembered that Weber State was the team that was on him early. And so so he decided that, hey, these are the guys that were with me when maybe I wasn't as well known. So he decided to cast his lot and go to Weber State. And since the Blazers were the team that selected him in the first round of the NBA draft, I think he has some great loyalty to them for doing that. So I think he remembers the people that have been good to him. And so from that standpoint, you know, the Blazers obviously rewarded him with a good salary, and they certainly look at him as the leader of the franchise. So from that standpoint, I think he feels wanted and appreciated. So it would not surprise me if he was a lifelong Blazer. So long as they continue to show that they appreciate everything that he does for them, I can see no reason that he might not want to be a Blazer for life.
Is it my big screen TV, or is Portland's three-point shooting a little bit down from last year with Lillard and McCollum in particular?
CJ, for sure, is definitely not at the three-point percentage that he has had in the past, and I think that's been a little puzzling to him and a little puzzling to everybody, really. I mean, he's shooting just 33% from three-point range, and this is a guy that was in the 40s last season. Damian's not far off his normal percentage. He's at 39%, so I think, you know, as a team, they're still doing some good things at 35%. I think they'd love to even up that percentage a little bit more, but Terry Stotts loves a three-point shot, and he loves guys that can shoot it, and they added a couple of guys in the offseason, and Seth Curry and Nick Stauskas that could kind of help in that respect, and Curry's definitely been a regular part of the rotation. Stauskas, recently, has kind of been moved out of the rotation a little bit with Jake Layman getting some time, but Maurice Harkless won't play tonight, so I think there's a chance that Layman could go back in the starting lineup where he was early in the season when Harkless wasn't available, and so Stauskas will probably see some time tonight. But three-point shooting is something that the Blazers definitely feel good about, but I think the emergence recently of Jusuf Nurkić to kind of give them an inside presence has allowed them to have maybe a little more balance with their offense than maybe they've had in the past. So I think they're kind of excited about that as well, and I think they feel confident that the three-point shooting, especially with a guy like C.J. McCollum, they just feel that eventually that's going to come around.
Brian, I think that Portland, as far as their franchise is concerned, should be applauded for their sustained success, because anytime that you can continue to go to the playoffs when you're in the mix, that only helps your franchise. Again, you want to get to the mountaintop like everybody else wants to get there, but the point is that Portland's always there. Can you point your finger at why the Blazers have done so well over the years of consistently getting into the postseason?
Yeah, I think, you know, Paul Allen, when he was alive and was the owner of this franchise, I mean, he made it very apparent that whoever was his general manager and whoever was in charge of team personnel, that he didn't want to go the route of trying to get really bad in hopes of then turning around and getting really good. He wanted to be competitive. He wanted to do what he could to try to, you know, have the team be in the mix for a playoff spot and hopefully a run at a championship as many seasons as possible. So I think he felt that he owed that to the Blazer fans. And so I think for the most part, you know, they had a few lean years in there in the early part of the 2000s. But for the most part, this has been a very consistent team in terms of getting to the playoffs. And I think now they want to get further. I mean, Damian has had a couple of first-round successes. But I think since he's been with the Blazers, I think he's looking at it as, you know, now we'd like to take a step or two further and get deeper into the playoffs. And as we said, the Western Conference is very tough. You can have a great season, and even if you get to the playoffs, you still might lose in the first round because the competition is that difficult. But I think they feel that that would be the next step in terms of getting this franchise to where they want it to be, to go deeper into the playoffs. But at least being a playoff team year in, year out, they think that's a good thing for the franchise. They also think it's a good marketing tool for, you know, for free agents when they try to go after some. But at least these guys know that they come here and that this organization takes it seriously to try to be competitive year in, year out, and to be competing for a championship as much as possible. So I think that's a good stance to take. I've never really believed in trying to get bad in hopes you're going to get good in the future. I just think losing is a bad habit to get into at any point. So I think the more you can win, at least it gets you in the habit of winning, and then hopefully you're able to do some big time winning if you can you know, build on that and get to compete for championships.
Like the Bulls.
At one time. Yes, at one time.
Well, listen, what you're going to see tonight is You know, if you have a monitor up there, you might want to just take the color out of it and just put it at black and white, because what we're seeing here is 1960s basketball. You're going to see this tonight. You're going to be perplexed on why there's so many touches for Lopez on the inside. We talked about this earlier in the show. Brian, this is it's one thing to be 10-30, okay? It's obviously Chicago's going through a very tough time, but Bulls fans are pulling their hair out on why Chicago's not playing with pace. This will be a surprise to you of how many times the ball will go inside instead of and after a miss, you'll see the ball trot up into the front court. Not on a like running up and down the floor, but kind of a trot, almost Fratello Cavaliers-like in that regard. You do remember Mike Fratello coaching the Cavs when they were playing in the 60s and 70s with scores. It's been similar to that. So now the issue with Bulls fans is, why can't you, when you have LaVine and Dunn and you have Markkanen, why aren't you getting up and down the floor? And right now it's about pace and lack of turnovers. That's what they're looking at right now.
Yeah, it seems to be the cautious approach to take, but I'm not sure it's much fun to play. It's probably not much fun to watch. So I think it's kind of the safe way to do it. But you know, in this day and age in the NBA, I mean, for the most part, you know, teams are averaging 100 points is a pretty common thing, you know, for most teams, and also getting up and down the floor and kind of in the days of the NBA when the shot clock didn't come into play as often, where you had some pretty good pace. I think fans enjoy watching that kind of game, and I think players enjoy playing it. So I think a lot of teams have gotten back to that. The 3-point shot, I think, has helped in that respect. Also, I think when teams get a rebound, an offensive rebound off a missed shot, the fact that the shot clock now doesn't go back to 24, it goes back to 14, that helps, you know, get more possessions in the game. And so I think that's been a good new rule this season. So I think, having fast pace is definitely an enjoyable game to watch. So I'll be looking for that since it's the first meeting of the season with the Bulls tonight. I'll definitely keep my eye on that and see how that progresses. But I can tell you, when Robin Lopez was a Blazer, he was looked at more as somebody that you might throw the ball into him every now and then, but he was looked at more of a guy that could clean up and get some, you know, offensive rebounds and be a rim protector and, you know, do some things of that nature. But he was not counted on to be a primary focal point of an offense, that's for sure. So that is a different role for him than I think he's enjoyed, you know, elsewhere in his career. But obviously it's an evolving system with the Bulls. I'm guessing that however things look this season probably isn't going to be the way things are going to look next season and beyond.
Well, if nothing else, you're going to have a lot of highlights to call tonight.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
It's just brutal. It's a dumpster.
You never know. They say on any given night, right? You know, so,
yeah.
So I think that's one of those things that you learn. And the Blazers the other night, won a game against a Knicks team that had beaten the Lakers in the game before that on the road. So you kind of always try to at least, remind these players that don't take anybody too lightly, because you never know what can happen. And so there's some bad losses that you can have during the course of a season. And when you're the heavily favored team going into a game, especially on your home floor, when you can't afford to lose too many in a competitive conference, I think that would be a bad loss if the Blazers can't get the job done tonight against the Bulls. But we'll see. We'll see what tonight brings, and see if the Bulls can bring their A game. And I think the Blazers are hopeful that they can build on some of the success they've had at the early start of this calendar year anyway.
Wheels, as always, I appreciate your time here in Chicago. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
All right, Jonathan, my pleasure. Anytime.
It is Brian Wheeler, the voice of the Portland Trailblazers, with us here on Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Yep. Hey, yo, Jay Hood, you know nobody covers the sports like you do, man. Let's go.
Time to get busy.
Like we always do about this time.
Jonathan Hood. On ESPN 1000, Tariq Cohen.
You can post up Dow Loggins, can't you?
Oh, yeah, I'll dunk on him.
Right. I was
going to
say.
Curtis Conway.
Oh, when did we get this piano? Oh, when did we get this? It's just like, honey, we moved in here with this piano.
You sound just like him, man.
Monique.
I like Sydney. Is he cool? I know you do. I'm just asking, is he?
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
No, you know. I don't, but I don't want to know him like that.
Weeknights on ESPN 1000.
Hey, that's me.
Jonathan, but goody, right?
Yeah, I noticed. Why not? Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Well, I got the peace pipe going on. Let me tell you about Illinois Media School. Illinois Media School, go to the website, we'll go to the number, 630-916-1700. 630-916-1700 for Illinois Media School Lumbar. Think about this. If you're passionate about broadcasting, right? You want to be a radio DJ, news, sports, traffic, board operator, social media influencer, create your own content for television or YouTube, operate the control rooms, and much, much more. Illinois Media School Lombard is going to help you in a big way. Real professionals of the industry that work there that can give you the hands-on training that you need. Registration for January is open. Eric Ostrowski works there. I work there. Illinois Media School is the best when you're trying to get into this industry of broadcasting. So all I say is to call this number, 630-916-1700, 630-916-1700, 630-916-1700 for Illinois Media School, Lombard. Just schedule yourself a visit. Find out if it's for you. That's all I say. You go there, you take the tour, and you'll fall in love. I can tell you that's what's going to happen. You're going to say, wow, look at all the people that you've heard on the radio or heard of over the years or on television or on social media. And those same people that are in the industry now or used to be in the industry, they're working there at Illinois Media School, Lombard. So 630-916-1700 for Illinois Media School. Just try. See if it's for you. You might be in college and have a major you just don't like. That's why Illinois Media School's there, to be able to think about something different for your life. So, Illinois Media School, Lombard. Okay, Felix, producer's choice. I've got rankings and predictions for every top remaining free agent in baseball. I've got a Vic Fangio story, and I've got ranking the top quarterbacks with Dan Graziano from ESPN.com.
Quarterbacks.
Okay.
I like this Graziano piece. Good pick. Good pick, Felix.
2019 quarterback confidence index. I had to have you make that choice. This is my last show of the week. So it's going to be my last topic of the week.
It's a great topic.
Yeah, because Thursday, I'm working with Chris Bleck. Thursday and Saturday, we have UIC games. It's the first time in my career, by the way, I'm going to be doing three basketball games, broadcasting three basketball games in a row. So UIC will take on Youngstown State at the Credit Union One Arena. So I've got that tomorrow on ESPN Plus. That's where if you're looking for me tomorrow, that's where I'll be, ESPN Plus with Chris Bleck at 7 o'clock. And then from there, Friday, I'll be doing Windy City Bulls basketball on Sportstown Chicago in conjunction with Illinois Media School. I'll be at in Hoffman Estates on Friday, and then Saturday, it's more UIC basketball, 3:12 on Saturday afternoon with Chris Bleck. All on ESPN Plus. So there you go. So this is my last topic for the week, because our brother's going to be busy doing play-by-play. Dan Graziano gives, in his interesting list here, it made some people upset earlier today, the quarterback confidence index rating NFL quarterback situations 1 through 32. Okay? So it's already offseason for 24 of the NFL's 32 teams. And so here's what he says. Tell me if you agree with this or not. The number one quarterback situation in the NFL is the Philadelphia Eagles because of Carson Wentz and Nate Sudfeld. Is Nate Sudfeld the best backup in the league?
Is it because Foles is a free agent? He doesn't count him on that list then?
I guess so.
Okay.
Even though Foles is 4-0 in postseason games the past two seasons, is the reigning Super Bowl MVP, but whatever. Saints are second with Drew Brees and Teddy Bridgewater. Colts are third with Andrew Luck and Jacoby Brissett. Chiefs are fourth with Patrick Mahomes and Chad Henne. Okay.
It's just Patrick Mahomes. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
I forgot Chad Henne was still in the league.
So the Patriots with Tom Brady and Brian Hoyer, former Bear. Seahawks with Russell Wilson, who's their backup, Brett Hundley. The Chargers with Phillip Rivers and Geno Smith. Geno Smith is still in the league. What? And Phillip Rivers will have a broken leg. He'll never give that ball to Geno Smith.
Nope.
No way. Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers and DeShone Kizer. Atlanta's ninth, Pittsburgh's 10th. And you're wondering, wait a minute, is there a team missing? The Bears are not on this list. The Bears are down the list here. Did that surprise you that they're not in the top 10 with Chase Daniel and Mitchell Trubisky?
They shouldn't be ahead of any of those teams in my eyes. In that top 10, the only team that I feel like maybe shouldn't be at this point is the Patriots, just because Tom Brady's regressed and Brian Hoyer's not good.
I thought that was interesting to see that list. The Bears way down on the list here with this. Teams most likely to seek new quarterbacks for starters. Number one list, Jacksonville Jaguars, no doubt. Blake Bortles has been a disaster. Just brutal. I thought coming into the draft, and I remember JD and I arguing about this, he thought that Johnny Manziel was going to be the man. And I said Blake Bortles is the next Ben Roethlisberger. We were both wrong. But I do win the bet because Bortles was a bet. At least he had some snaps, multiple snaps for multiple years in the NFL. And Johnny, well, not as much. Redskins second because of Alex Smith's career-threatening leg injury. Giants third, Dolphins four. Lastly, the story coming across, you might have heard this on SportsCenter, about Adam Gase becoming the head coach for the Jets. What a terrible hire. I don't understand why the Jets continue to try to outsmart the room. With the Giants going backwards, the Jets could have all the headlines because they got the quarterback. Yeah, Eli Manning, who's close to retirement, who is a Hall of Famer, no question. But you've got Sam Darnold. And I'm not sure if Sam Darnold's going to be great, but you just need just an offensive mind to help Sam Darnold. That was McCarthy. Why didn't you just hire McCarthy? McCarthy wanted the job. Nope, Adam Gase. Heard some things about Adam Gase I didn't like while he's with the Bears. There's a reason why he didn't become the head coach of the Bears. We thank you for being part of the program here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Our thanks to you for listening. Our thanks to Felix and Eric on the other side of the glass and Brian Wheeler, our guest here tonight. Don't forget the Under the Hood podcast. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Download that podcast. Subscribe. Download that way. You never miss an episode. If you can't listen live, that's why we got the podcast right here on Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. iTunes, Apple Music, wherever you do your podcast. All right. I will talk to you next week right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Catch me on ESPN Plus doing some UIC Flames basketball. If not, let's do it Monday at 7. Eh, why not? Right here on ESPN 1000. Northwestern's next.
Jonathan Hood.
I'm so good.
On ESPN 1000.